We just need to sing that one again. Amen? Good. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Continue our series of messages on the book of Ephesians. We'll cover just a couple of verses tonight. My intention was to preach kind of short tonight, and we'll see. I think that sometimes happens, sometimes it doesn't. Hadn't happened a long time. We'll see how it goes. And I know a lot of you are tired and had a short afternoon, didn't you? Somebody could have found the lock to the trailer. We lock everything around here now. I mean, it's locked up like Fort Knox. And so now you have to find the key that goes to everything. Golly. So it took us a while to find the keys that go to everything that's locked up. And needless to say, it was the preacher's fault. It usually is. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, let's begin reading in verse 10 again. It says, finally, my brethren, after everything he's talked about about what God has given us and all the inheritance that we have and just the greatness of being a Christian and being a child of God and all the tools that have been given to us, and then telling us to walk circumspectly, to tell us to walk as children of the light, and telling us how to live and how to walk. And he said, all right, I've given you the tools. God's given you the tools to live, and I've told you how to live. Now, finally, you need to do something else. And what is that finally? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Not ours, His. Remember that now. It's not about us. It's all about Him. Depending upon Him. Put on. What are we going to do? Finally, what are we going to do? We're going to put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We talk about various things there as we went over this, the wiles, the trickery of Satan, and how deceitful he is, and those wiles. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser. He's deceptive. I mean, he'll use anything he can. He has methodology about it. He's methodical about it. He knows precisely what he's doing. I told the men in the prayer meeting, we give Satan way too much credit, though. Understand that Satan doesn't know it all. He is not all-knowing. God is all-knowing. Amen? But he's highly organized. And though he may not be able to read the future of what you're going to do tomorrow, he has your whole past that he knows about. So he can kind of tell where you're headed, right? So, boy, don't ever forget that. He is out to destroy you. He's out to get you. He's out to deceive you. We talked about Eve was deceived, Adam was disobedient, and the devil is trying to get you to be one or the other. He tried to deceive you or get you to be disobedient. Paul's simply saying here, stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not, verse 12, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And we talked about, again, wrestling there, that we are not, the enemy is not people. Enemy is not people. The enemy is Satan. The enemy is Satan. And Satan uses people, but Satan is the enemy and not people. This is no ordinary battle we're in. This is no ordinary battle. This is a spiritual battle. And Satan has, again, a very distinct order of principalities and powers, and these order of ways that help him, that are there with him, serving him. But again, Satan is not all-powerful, just highly organized. He's not all-knowing. He's not present everywhere. But Satan has countless hordes of demons at his disposal. I would tell you absolutely, Satan knows everything that's gone on in your life, not based upon his all-knowing, but based upon information that he's received. Hello? And he likes to remind you of that information, doesn't he? Oh, yeah. He'll bring it back up. I love that saying. When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his what? Future. Boy, just remind him where he's going. Amen? And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Listen, you get on your knees when Satan trembles. You're powerful. You're the most powerful you can be when you're on your knees before God. Satan again. We're not wrestling against people or against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Just always remember that. You know, you had somebody has offended you, somebody has done something against you. Remember, they're not the enemy. Satan's the enemy. And again, Satan's used me. He's used you from time to time. He uses people, but Satan is the ultimate enemy. Remember that. He is, again, highly organized. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore, understanding that this is not a normal battle, that we fight against spiritual powers and principles and rulers of the darkness of this world, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." Notice he says this twice. Anytime the Bible says something twice, you need to really check it up, check it out. "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We talked about that evil day, that you don't know when that day's coming. So you need to put the whole armor of God on every day so that you're ready to withstand in that evil day. In that evil day. Now the next two verses. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Let's just stick with verse 14 tonight. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time, bless the reading of your word, and help us, Lord, as we endeavor to put on the whole armor of God, help us to stand in that evil day. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 14, Paul says, Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, the loincloth of truth. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Wear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. We ought to be people of our word. We ought to be truthful. Again, this particular belt, this particular piece of armor was held in place, the armor that protected the lower parts of the body. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." If we are to fight in a battle, we must have the proper equipment. If we are to be victorious in this spiritual battle against the darkness that is there, we are children of the light. Amen? We are to be fighting the darkness. We need to have the proper equipment. The first piece of equipment is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. The soldier wore a tunic of loose-fitting cloth and has done so since ancient times. And remember now, it was hand-to-hand combat. I know the new movies that have come out have really shown maybe some insight into that hand-to-hand combat wasn't everything it's cracked up to be, right? Right? I mean, it's not like you're shooting, 100 yards that direction. You've got the sword and you're hacking stuff. It just boggles my mind. And this particular belt helped hang the rest of the materials that were hang from it down to the rest of the body. This loose tunic that the soldiers wore was a potential hindrance when they went to battle. And the belt was necessary to cinch up the loosely hanging materials. Girding up was a matter of pulling in the loose ends as preparation for the battle. It's kind of like tucking in your shirt. Right? When I used to lift weights, past tense, we were required to wear a belt, right? We wore this belt. And when you went to compete, especially when you went to compete, you would literally, when you put the belt on, you would have a friend take that belt and grab a hold of it and put his hand up against you. And I mean, it's just as tight as he could get it. Just as tight as he could get it. I thought, you know where I was headed with that, didn't you? My wife knows exactly where I was headed. Some of you have to ask her later. Some of you ladies don't get it. No? Just as tight as he could get it. I'm saying until you couldn't breathe, and then he would snap that belt in and put it in place. And the more everything could be held in, the tighter the back was, the more you could lift. Absolutely. Absolutely. You get that back and get everything just as tight as it could be. And they would take that belt, gird that belt about them, tuck in all the loose-fitting materials around them, and wear that belt. And it was, again, held in place all the other pieces of material. We think about what the belt represents. Truth. Truth. Look at there again. Standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Truth means sincerity and truthfulness. But this sincerity and truthfulness is subjective to God's Word. Again, someone can be sincere and think they're truthful and yet be wrong. So when we talk about truth, we're talking about truth as it is compared to the Word of God. Hello? I mean, we sometimes slip up with our tongues and say something that may not be exact truth, but the Word of God is truth. It doesn't slip up. Amen? It can be depended on. It can be trusted. The Word of God, the truth. Studying the Word of God is essential to the victory over the devil and his wiles and his trickery and his deceptiveness. We think of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Our minds need to be girded up with truth, the Word of God. Ephesians 5:26 refers to the Word of God as a washing of water. Amen? You shall be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's the renewing of the mind? The Word of God. This is like water for the mind. You just take the Word of God and you just wash it away. Not your mind, not your, you know. I'm talking about those thoughts you shouldn't be having. Amen? The filthiness of the mind. And the Word of God will transform our minds with truth. Novels and magazines and books all have their place. But sometimes we're spending far too much time reading other books instead of the book. And I touched on this, especially I preached a chapel service out at Crown, and I touched on it with you guys too. We should be people of the book. One book. Amen? And I would just encourage you, if you're an avid reader, be careful. Be careful what you read. Be so very careful. I love to read. But be careful what you read. I tell people, listen, and y'all have heard me preach it. Then your mind can be polluted so fast. You know, be careful what you're reading, what you're putting in your mind. And be careful about them soap opera books, right? That's what I call them, soap opera books. You know, they like it. That's a good story, but not truthful. Be careful what you put in your mind. The Word of God. Put the Word of God in your mind. It's truth. The Word is our guide for life. And I'm not teaching you anything you don't know. It keeps us from getting entangled with the world. Thy Word is truth. Again, too many today are being tossed to and fro, Ephesians 4:14, simply because they fail to read and apply the Word of God. Boy, don't we see this today? I'm telling you, I have friends. I have close friends who have been tossed to and fro. And when you get the Word of God out and you show them, you say, hey, this is not what the Word of God, they just ignore it. I'm like, this is our truth. Doesn't matter your opinion or what you think, this is truth. Right? We were discussing this a little while ago. I mean, this is truth. There are various opinions and other things, but this is truth. And we need to be girded about with truth, not our opinions. Jesus Christ used the truth when He was tested by Satan, when He was led into the wilderness there. He used the Word of God. He said to Satan, it is what? Written. And He combated Satan with the Word of God, and we'll cover that later. The Word of God is truth. We need to be girded about with truth. Tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And we ought to be people not only of the Bible and of the truth, but we ought to be people who speak truth. Be honest in all our dealings. Gird yourself about with truth. And secondly, we see the next piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. Now therefore, having your loins girded about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate was usually a tough, sleeveless piece of leather or heavy material with animal horns and hooves and pieces sewn in it so that whatever it was harder if it wasn't of metal. Some were of metal. We talk about various things. It was covered by, it covered the front and the back of the soldier from the neck to the thigh. Right? We don't think about it being that big or that long. But from the neck to the thigh. Right? I don't know about you, that's pretty important stuff it's covering up. You know, I can live without a foot. I can't live without my heart. Right? Amen. Covering the vital organs, the heart and vital organs of the soldier. Someone has said, when a man is clothed in practical righteousness, he is impregnable. See if I can say this right. He is impregnable. In other words, he is absolutely, absolutely armed and I'm going to say a word that's not a word. There it is. Impenetrable. I want to say undefeatable. But unpenetrable. I can't pronounce it. When a man, a woman, a child has on the breastplate of righteousness, Satan can't get them. You know, it's the vital parts are covered. Right? And there's so much here. We think about various things, and I'll go over some of them. It says, if our conscience is clean between God and man, the devil has no place to shoot. Has no place to shoot. Words are no defense against accusations, but a good life is. I've said this many times. You protect your character, and God will protect your reputation. You guard your character, and God will take care of your reputation. I've seen it in my own life, vividly in my own life. Take care of your character. Live righteously. Live righteously. The heart needs protection. The Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? We need our heart protected with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Righteousness must guard our hearts. Righteousness, our God is righteous. He always does what is right. Why? Because of who He is. He makes no mistakes. We are not righteous because of who we are. We are sinners. Okay? So, it's very easy. God is righteous. He always does what's right. Because that's who He is. He can do nothing else. Right? We are unrighteous because of who we are. Because we are sinners. So therefore, because we have no righteousness of our own, then, what y'all have heard it preached many times, when we accept Christ as our Savior, we receive His righteousness. We receive the righteousness of Christ. And therefore, we take on that breastplate of righteousness. That breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness, not of our own, but of His. His righteousness. Again, Jesus came to earth. He gave His life for us. He shed His blood for us. That we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. By the way, He always does what's right. So therefore, He loves us as much as He loves Himself. Therefore, He came and He died on the cross for us. The absolute illustration, the absolute example of righteousness is Christ on the cross of Calvary. The ultimate example of righteousness, of right doing, is Jesus Christ, our example on the cross of Calvary. Isn't that great? He's absolutely righteous. He always does what's right. Always will do what's right. For you and for me, He always does what's right. And that righteousness has been imputed to our account. The sinless life of Christ put to our account. We should, through the Holy Spirit, live out that righteousness. We should, through the Holy Spirit, live out that righteousness. Romans 6:13 says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We should what? We should yield our members, our bodies, as instruments of righteousness, of right living, right doing. Again, in a world in which everything seems to have become relative. In other words, we live in a society where, well, that's what you think, but here's what I think. Here's what I think's wrong, but here's what you may think is wrong. And we're both right. No. The Word of God is truth. Christ always does what's right, and we're to live out that righteousness. What? His righteousness, right doing. He is the guide. He is the mark. Amen? Not somebody's opinion. Not somebody's opinion. We ought to yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness. Right living. We should live right every day. Are we going to? We're going to mess up. Amen? But our ultimate goal is to live right. To do right. To always do right. Why? Because we're to follow Jesus. And He's righteous. We go to put on that breastplate of righteousness. We must live out that righteousness. We must live out the righteousness of Christ. He's given us righteousness, but we're to live out that righteousness. And listen, there are many passages to turn to. We're to yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We should live soberly, godly, righteously in this present world. That's how Christians are supposed to live. Amen? We're to be soberly. We're to be serious about this matter. We're to live godly. We're to live righteously in this present world. Listen, Christians tonight, we're to live right. We're to live right. We're to do right. I became a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, let us never forget that there is a standard. And that standard is Jesus Christ. And we're to follow the standard. His righteousness. We don't have the right to live how we want to live. We're to live righteously, the Bible says. We're to deny those ungodly lusts. And live godly. There is a standard. That's why many, many, many churches out there would say we are legalists. Y'all believe there's standards. Y'all believe there's, you know, absolutely we believe there's a standard. Now, we're not legalists. A legalist means somebody who believes in works for salvation. I'm not a legalist. But I absolutely believe after you get saved that you should live right and do right. Amen? Absolutely. We don't go around doing whatever we want. Jesus said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Boy, we ought to, again, just raise the banner high. I'm going to live righteously. I'm going to do right in this present evil world. We understand there's positional righteousness. I'm glad today that I have the righteousness of Christ in me. That positionally before God, I stand before God perfect. And righteous, because the righteousness I receive. But secondly, there's a practical righteousness. And that is, we take the positional righteousness that has been given to us, and we live that out. We live it out. Amen? I know y'all know this. I'm trying to just pump you up. Live right. Strive, through the help of the Holy Spirit, to live and do right. Don't get sucked up into this thing. And I wish a lot of our other people were here. Maybe they'll listen to it later. But don't get sucked up into this new church stuff. I'm telling you, it amazes me. People who call themselves Christians and what they'll say and do. I mean, people who call themselves Christians who cuss just like any other person. And speak foul language. It amazes me. I'll go to their Facebook. I don't do it anymore. Listen, I've got like 20 friends of Crest right now. Now, if you're one of them, I'm sorry. At some point, I might click on them and say, okay, I don't even want to go to people's Facebook pages anymore. Christians watching and doing things that I just can't believe it. Well, my favorite music is Led Zeppelin or, I don't know, the AC/DC. I don't know what all it is. I'm like, your favorite music is, you know, my favorite movie, and they'll name some movie that's rated R. I'm like, what in the world are you thinking? Or some... I'm sorry, did I get off on some stuff I shouldn't have? You know, practical righteousness. And sometimes I think it's good for the preacher to get up and name stuff. Are these things right or are they wrong? You know, is it okay to watch that sitcom? My favorite sitcom is... Lost, or my favorite sitcom is name them. I don't know. Are those okay? Amen? Anybody out there? All right. Say, preacher, quit it. Okay. Live righteously. And yes, we are going to fail. None of us are perfect. You say, well, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. Wrong. Beep. Absolutely, He expects righteousness from us. Don't downgrade what God expects of you. Amen? Amen. I'm going to give an account someday of how I lived. And I'm going to receive loss of rewards or gain rewards because of it. And I just want to live right. And here's the thing. When we take on the breastplate of righteousness, listen now. You say, what benefit has it in the battle as far as facing these principalities and powers? What benefit is there? I would say the greatest benefit is authority. The greatest benefit is authority. For instance, as a teacher, when you stand up, and this is in my own life, when you stand up and you have a clean conscience before God, you have lived a righteous life during the week. Do you have more authority when you step up and teach? They said of Jesus, He speaks as one as having authority. Why was that? Because He was righteous, and the Pharisees and Sadducees were not. Oh, they lived it on the outside, but they were full of dead man's bones. Amen? See, when you live right and you do right, and again, we're not, and understand, we're going to fail from time to time, but we keep a clean records before God. When we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we go to Him every day and we say, Lord, forgive me for saying that. Lord, forgive me for looking at that. Forgive me for drinking that. Whatever it is. And we keep a clean record before God. We can stand up with authority and address the people with the Word of God. And it gives you authority with Satan as well. And let me use a different word. Can I use confidence? Boy, what a wonderful thing it is when Satan begins to shoot at you and there's nothing to shoot at. Well, did you know you... No, I didn't do those things. Amen? Now, it's great that you can go to God and ask forgiveness and God forgives you. But what about if you just lived righteous anyway? Didn't have all that stuff. Amen? If we fall instead of stand, it's because we are not living right. Again, confess your sins lest Satan tempt you. And I did write this down. A righteous life brings with it confidence in the battle. A righteous life brings with it confidence in the battle. If you live right, seek to do right, you'll have confidence in the battle. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Let's just be like Jesus this week, right? I just want to follow Jesus, live for Him, do my best for Him. I use that word, make Him proud of me. I want my Heavenly Father to be proud of me. Let's all stand.